This is part of the story of Amaziah, the king of Judah. So we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, the 25th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Let's hear the Lord's word. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel, for 100 talents of silver. Remember that a talent is approximately 100 weight, somewhere in the region of 50 kilograms. So you're talking there about 100 talents. So that's about 5 tons of silver. For 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they all were broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. So we'll end there tonight, the end of the 13th verse. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing this evening to this, the public reading of his word. The words of that verse 9, part of it we want to take as our text at the outset of our Bible study tonight. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So it's the words at the end of the verse. The man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." And especially if I could narrow in even more, the words where it says, "The Lord is able." The Lord is able. I want you to think of that statement. I want you to think tonight of the truth that God is able. That is my theme for the message, for the Bible study. There's a little chorus. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. He's able. He's able. I know my Lord is able. We've often sung those words. I want you to think tonight, there's often we're faced with what we can't do. What we can't do. There's tasks that we're given. There's tasks that we have to perform. And we're not able. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the strength. We don't have the money. The reality is, it's good to consider it tonight, to acknowledge it. The reality is that our power and our ability has limits. It has great limits. And maybe you're faced with such a situation today. You're faced with circumstances, and you're not able to deal with those circumstances. If that is the case, I don't want you to be discouraged, and I don't want you to be depressed, and I don't want you to be downcast. Because what I want you to see tonight from the scriptures is that it's not so with God. God's power and God's ability has no limits. If you think of the word omnipotent, it has the idea behind it that there's no limits to God's power. He's omnipresent. There's no limits to God as far as space is concerned. He's omniscient. There's no limits to God as far as his knowledge. And he's omnipotent. There's absolutely no limits to God as far as his power is concerned. Let me remind you tonight, there's nothing that's too hard for God. There's nothing that God cannot do. So just ponder those words, meditate upon them, consider them tonight. They'll bless and encourage your heart. God is able. And that's the truth I want to impress upon your heart. It's a truth that is repeated over and over. I encourage you just to think of that. It's a little exercise to engage in. Take a little time just to sit quietly and think of all the verses in the Bible where those words are found, that God is able, the things that God is able to do. I'm going to, as it were, prime the pump tonight. I'm going to suggest some other places. We'll consider this one first, and I'll suggest a few others to you as well. And I pray that our consideration of them will be a blessing and a help, a means of even strengthening your hands tonight. So what we learn here is that God is able to give. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 9, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." The words of the Lord to Amaziah, the king of Judah, through the man of God. Remember that God is a giver. Just think tonight, who can give like God? Think of what God has given to you today. Think of what God has given to you right down through your entire lifetime. If you think of Paul standing on Mars Hill preaching to the Athenians, and he told them that the Lord has given us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. It's not a tremendous statement. The life you have, the breath that you breathe, every breath that you breathe, and all that you have, he has given you all things. It's not so all-encompassing. He has given us life and breath and all things. It's not a thing that you have tonight that the Lord didn't give to you. And he's given us all things freely. Isn't that tremendous? Freely to enjoy. You think of the great text that we considered in the gospel on Sunday night. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So let's consider that tonight. Let's realize God has given us everything. brethren and sisters. The fact is, there's no greater giver than God. And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to exhort you. Whatever your situation, I want to exhort you to look to Him in your need. There's times our giving is exhausted. There's times that we can't give anymore. There's times that we've been busy, we've been diligent, we've been laboring, we've been busy in the work, we've been trying to help, and we get tired and weary. Times we can't give anymore. But remember, it's not so with God. This text that's before us tonight is a promise. And it's a promise that God's able to give more. In fact, it's even stronger than that. He's able to give you much more than this. So can I point out to you as well, as you think of that, that the Lord gives to us sometimes in the most unexpected manner, in the most unexpected way. I think Elijah is a great example of that, both at the brook Cherith and at Zarephath. Whenever he was at the brook Cherith, the Lord provided for him with the ravens. We talk about home delivery of meals. Well, the birds just flew down to the brook morning and evening, regularly, faithfully. And then whenever the brook dried up, the Lord in his providence moving his servant on to Zarephath, the Lord provided for him there in the most unexpected way too, in the home of a widow woman. Remember, there was no social services, no benefit scheme in those days. A widow was the most destitute person in the whole society, in the whole community. She could hardly provide for herself. In fact, the details that are recorded in the scripture, she was going out to gather a few sticks to make the last meal for herself and for her son. The most unexpected place, the most unexpected way. But that's where the Lord provided. That's how the Lord gave to his servant what he needed. So whatever your need tonight, brethren and sisters, whether it be guidance or wisdom or strength or finances, whatever you require at this time, take this text to heart. God is able. God is able to give thee. He's able to give thee much more than this. Think of the needs of the church, the church in Armagh, the church as a whole across the land tonight. We're in need of blessing. We need the revival breath of God. We need God to come again and move in soul-winning power. So the Lord's able. We look back to times of blessing. We rejoice in them. Our fathers have told us what God did do in their day. But remember, He's able to give us much more than this. I want you to think of another place where we're told about what God's able to do. It's in Daniel chapter 6. You may like to turn to the place. It's the words of verse 20. It's the occasion, the story of Daniel in the den of lions. One of the best known stories in the scriptures. One of the first stories we teach to the children, both at home and in the Sunday school. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20, the king there is Darius. And the king said, "Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Think of the question. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, God delivered Daniel. He delivered him in the most extreme circumstances. And take heart from that tonight. Take encouragement that God will deliver you as well. He will deliver you from your enemies. Wasn't it his enemies that got Daniel into the den of lion? It was their doing, their evil motives, their evil plans. So God will deliver you from your enemies, them that hate you, those that oppose you, those that have wicked attacks that they've made upon you, even attacking you with slanders, with lying words. So I want you to be encouraged as you think of Daniel here. Regardless of how dark, regardless of how difficult, regardless of how impossible the situation may be, may seem to you tonight, Remember, God is able. He's able to deliver you. And remember that that is a message that's found in many places in the Scriptures. In fact, the whole message of the Bible could be summed up as a message of deliverance. Think of national deliverance recorded, for example, in the book of Exodus. The Lord delivered the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, delivered them from their taskmasters, the Egyptians. Read the book of Judges, and continually, repeatedly, over and over again, God in mercy, God in grace, came down and delivered Israel from their enemies. Think of the story of the book of Esther. It's a great story of deliverance. How again the Jews, that hated people, so hated, especially by Haman, they were delivered from all of Haman's wicked designs against them. And remember too, there's stories in the Bible of individual deliverances. We've highlighted the story of Daniel already in the Old Testament. Think of Peter in the New Testament in Acts chapter 12. He was there in the prison cell. It was the designs of Herod to put him to death, but the book of Acts, Luke, the inspired historian, recorded that the Lord delivered him from Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So God's able. He's able to deliver you in whatever situation you find yourself tonight. And the greatest example of deliverance, of course, is in the gospel. The greatest example of deliverance is at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is able to deliver. You think of Paul, whenever he was at Rome near the end of his life, he said, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Some folk take that literally, that he was, for example, in the Colosseum when they let the lions out, that he was in danger of being put to death in that manner. Some think it's a reference to the wicked Nero, the emperor, sitting on the throne. But he says, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Spiritually, what he says is a picture of being delivered from the devil. Remember that the devil in the Bible, on the Sabbath morning, we highlighted that the devil is set forth as the serpent, but sometimes he's set forth as the roaring lion. So there's a spiritual picture there as well. The devil and his servants seek to trap the people of God, seek to destroy them, seek to get them into trouble, into danger. And God is able to deliver you, to deliver you from Satan and from all of his plans. There's a third place I'll highlight. It's in the book of Jude. We're coming over in the New Testament, almost to the end of the Bible, the book before the last. Just the one chapter in the book of Jude. We're right at the doxology there at the end of the book. We're in verse 24. Take a look at those tremendous words in the book of Jude and the 24th verse. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." There's a similar statement made by Paul when he was writing to young Timothy. "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So there's two texts, one written by Jude, the other written by Paul to Timothy, that teach us, remind us, that God is able to keep. He's able to keep you. He's able to keep your soul. He's able to keep you all the way to heaven. The Bible teaches the great truth of the perseverance of the saints. Sometimes we describe it as eternal security. That's the idea that God's people will never perish. God's people will never be lost. God's people will never be in hell. And I want you just to think of that. Let it sink into your heart. Let it encourage your heart tonight. He's able to keep you from falling. We fail, we sin. At times we grow cold, we backslide, even in heart. We're tempted, we're tried. There's times we're cast down, we're sad. Depression can enter into our hearts and mind. Satan opposes us, entices us. There's times we feel that the Lord has left us. There might even be times that you feel that you're not saved. But remember tonight that you'll never be lost. Never be lost. You'll never perish. You'll never be in hell. He's able to keep you. He's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Remember the Savior's words, the great promise, perhaps the best known proof text of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. I give unto my sheep eternal life. You only have to think of those two words. Eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's not something that you have for a little while. In salvation, God doesn't give to you something that you'll have today and be gone tomorrow. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, you see the strength of the word, the sureness of the promise, they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. You think of a child crossing the road, a busy road in danger, but the parents holding the hand of the child. And remember, it's a very clear illustration of the truth. It's not the hold of the child on the parent's hand that keeps it safe, but it's the hold of the parent on the child's hand that keeps it in safety as they make their way across the road. And it's the same with us, brother and sister. It's his hold upon us that will keep us until the journey's end. So don't ever fear falling away. Don't ever fear losing your salvation or being lost. He's able. Grasp that truth tonight. Pray that the Lord will write it on your heart, that you'll see it clearly tonight as never before. He's the one that's able to keep you from falling. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what he throws at you. It doesn't matter what crosses your path. He's able to keep you until you reach the glory land. And there's one other that we'll mention in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. And the words of the 25th verse. Just take a little look at those. They're familiar words. We often use them in prayer, quote them in the prayer meeting. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is, see the word again, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So here in this final verse that we'll consider tonight, we see that the Lord is able to save. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just desire to do it or want to do it. He's able to do it. He's able to save. And I trust that's an encouragement to you tonight. I know that week by week, as you come to the prayer meeting, there are those that are upon your heart, those that are not saved. There's loved ones, your dearest on this earth. You're troubled about them. Even as you speak to them, at times it seems that they're harder to the things of God. Your friends that you're concerned and worried about. And the years go by, and it seems as if there's no impression been made upon their hearts and life. You grieve over them, their indifference, their hardness, their carelessness, at times maybe even their opposition to you and the Christian life and to the things of God. But remember, brethren and sisters, he's able. He's able to save. And he's able to save the worst of cases. He's able to save the most notorious of sinners. Sometimes it's described as from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to save the most notorious of sinners. It was Samuel Chadwick he would have prayed in his gospel missions that the Lord would raise a Lazarus, the most notorious sinner in that community, and create a stir for God. Remember that Abraham was an idolater. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. He was an idolater, and the Lord in his grace reached down and saved him. Remember that Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She was a woman of ill repute, a woman of the street. And what a trophy of grace the Lord made Rahab the harlot. Think of Saul of Tarsus. He described himself as the chief of sinners. Imagine that, the greatest sinner. Said that before his conversion, he was a murderer and a blasphemer. But the Lord changed and transformed his life and made him into one of the foremost of the apostles, made him into the greatest missionary that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever known. So take encouragement from that tonight. He's able, brethren and sisters. Take that to heart. Let it encourage your heart this evening. God is able. He's able to save your family. He's able to save your loved ones. He's able to save your neighbors. He's able to save the people of this community and this province. Even in this wicked end time age in which we live and in which we're called to bear testimony for Christ. So here's a little of what the Bible teaches us about what God is able to do. And this is only the start. There's other verses with the same message. So I encourage you to look for them. God's able to give. He's able to deliver. He's able to keep. And he's able to save. So what a truth that is to stand upon. And I encourage you tonight, as you face the future, let's get our eyes off ourselves. Let's get our eyes off our own inability. And let's get our focus and our hearts onto God's ability, his ability. Learn tonight, God is able. For whatever you have to face, for whatever path you have to walk along, and God is able. As we think of the testimony of the church, the congregation, the ministry here collectively, God is able for whatever this church needs in the days that lie ahead as we seek to raise the testimony of the gospel for God in this city of Armagh. So I pray the Lord will bless this message and especially bless this great truth to all of your hearts tonight. We're thankful for your presence.